This is side two of the first tape, and when the last one ended, you were talking about food service manager and your becoming editor at Serving State was the newsletter. But
okay, so I was working part half the time as food manager at Mason Abbott and half the time doing the editorial work for the division. It started out with doing Serving State, but I was started doing advertising and writing speeches, and pretty soon I was over doing that full time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we got our own small printing press, and you know I was kind of in charge of that too. One of the secretaries was running the printing press, so it was just kind of a one-man operation with mm-hmm. a secretary doing the printing.
Was this a mimeograph type production, but a stencil machine or?
That's what it started out to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then we actually got a small printing press, small offset lithography press.
Okay.
And that was mostly doing Serving State, but we also, then we started doing other graphic works and editorial work and, you know, writing things for the division that you know, just gradually added more and more stuff that the menus, writing out menus, you know, somebody have some special something going on with doing stuff for that.
So you printed that out?
You know, so I kind of did the graphic works and the writing and you know, whatever needed to be done. Mm-hmm. It was a good experience.
At what point did you get your degree?
I got my degree in 66 when I was food manager at Acres. I got a BA in advertising,
mm-hmm.
but then I continued taking classes towards a master's then. Still always part-time, except two summers. Two summers I went full-time. You could go the full summer or half summer. From my vacation time and whatever, I went to school that half term. First half session, and I took 11 credits one half semester, half term, and 12 the next. That's mm-hmm. be like taking 22 or 24 credits per term, and I didn't realize that at the time, but that was a lot of credits. I enjoyed, you know, going to school all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I just really enjoyed that.
That's quite a contrast from the 1:00 and
sometimes I'd take two classes, so maybe mm-hmm. I'd get 7 credits in a term, but often just 3.
Mm-hmm. So from 1966, so how long was your degree period?
I started in 52, I got my degree in 66, I got my master's in 73.
Okay.
I enrolled around 50 times, mm-hmm. which is probably a record. Because I was reading the state news, somebody had, you know, 35 terms, and, you know, it was a big thing. Well, mm-hmm. I'd done it 50
times. 50 different times,
yeah.
So not only were you working here, you were also studying all that time.
Yeah. and I got my bachelor's, I got with highest honors.
Okay, all right. How did you get attracted to advertising?
I really was interested in English.
Okay.
And so I started out in English. But then advertising to me seemed a very good way of communications. And I never thought of going into advertising. It's just, you know, I had to have something to. So I, advertising seemed like a good way of communication. It was, you know, it got to the point you used a lot of graphics, which I was interested in. I'd taken an advertising class, and the guy that taught it. It was a big class, but he taught it like it was a small class.
Oh, really?
Very, very interesting. So that's how I got into advertising, probably because of that class. Mm-hmm. I found I had an interest in it. Mm-hmm. And advertising was a very good field to take here because you took some basic advertising classes, but then they wanted you to get a very well-rounded education so you could take anything you wanted.
A lot of cognates.
Right, yeah. So I took geology, geography, poetry, economics, whatever I was interested, German history, Michigan history. So for taking classes here was fun for mm-hmm. me.
Did you take Madison Kuhn's course?
Madison Kuhn, I took his class in Michigan history, and they do a term paper, and mm-hmm. I did one on an old abandoned railroad that I had been interested in anyway, and I had been taking pictures, and so I did term paper, and he gave me an A plus in it, the only A plus he'd ever given in his life, he said. And then Madison and I became friends after that.
Uh-huh. Where was the railroad?
The railroad ran from Lansing down to Litchfield, through Albion, down to Litchfield. It was a branch of the Michigan Southern Railroad. It was gone long before, uh-huh. before I. But you can could still see where it went.
By the railroad.
Yeah, and I remember my father talking. Went through downtown Lansing under Michigan Avenue. There's the tunnel is still under there, and it's used. It goes to the museum complex there. But my father would talk about the Michigan Southern Railroad, which I didn't know what it was. But it was actually the North Central Michigan Railroad, but that was the name of it. But it was a branch of the Michigan Southern.
Would it go straight south of Lansing to Troy Mason?
No, the other railroad went straight south.
Okay.
It went through Albion.
Okay.
Went through Eden Rapids.
Okay.
Charlesworth, Albion. It went as far as, went to Litchfield. It didn't go as far as Hillsdale people thought it did, but the main line of the railroad came from Hillsdale north, so it didn't really, it connected there. And then there was the Lakeshore Michigan Southern Railroad that was taken over by the New York Central. Mm. The New York Central took us the Michigan Central Railroad, which is the one that went from Lansing to Jackson. Mm-hmm. Well, the New York Central had two railroads going pretty parallel, so they got rid of one of them.
One line, yeah. That's interesting. How did you first get involved in that that research paper? Did you get involved in the railroad before the research paper?
We're going to have to go back to Trowbridge.
Oh, okay.
when I was a kid.
That's fine.
Trowbridge was a railroad center. It was where the Grand Trunk Western Railroad and the Pierre Marquette Railroads crossed.
Okay.
It was an Interlochen station, or Interlochen. There had been a station, but it was a tower there. It controlled the signals. And my younger brother and I spent all our... We lived right across the street from it, across the road in the old hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used to, be up in the tower all the time. And the guy, name was Mr. Scholl, was, glad to have us up there because it's kind of a lonely job.
Mm-hmm.
And so we became interested in railroads. And so... all my life I've been interested in railroads. So and I found out about the, actually I was interested in the inner city railroads,
the interurban,
the light line. There was one that came through East Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
some in the, my interest in East Lansing history, I was interested in the urban, and then I was talking about this other railroad that I thought at first it was part of the interurban, but then when I found out it wasn't, then I got interested in that, and so.
Okay, well, it's interesting.
Kind of one thing led to another.
Mm-hmm. I live in Leslie, and this last summer they ripped up all the pavement and did one of these cityscapes, and the interurban tracks right down Main Street.
Because
they didn't know that they were there. And so
they found something?
They found the tracks. I had pictures because I worked with the local historical society, and there were pictures of the interurban right on the Main Street and, stopped. It shouldn't have been a surprise, but the fact was that it slowed construction because they had to take all the rails. They had to take the...
I followed. down to Jackson.
Yep. Right through Mason. And
Consumers Power took over much of that.
But a lot of the right-of-way is still there.
See
the grading.
I have pictures of that at different places, from Mason, mm-hmm. where it crosses Ralph Road.
Mm-hmm. Kennyville Road, probably.
Kennyville Road, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it gets down to Jackson, it gets kind of lost in the Consumers Power stuff down mm-hmm. there, all that, their complex.
Yeah. So you had a relationship with Madison Kuhn?
Madison Kuhn, as a teacher and as a friend.
And in terms of local history?
Did
he involve students at all in his research about the university?
I don't think so. I think it was a one-person thing.
Okay. How would you describe him as a teacher?
Madison Kuhn's father was a preacher, and he taught like a preacher. I mean, he kept you interested in what he's talking about. He was very... one of the things that Madison Kuhn taught me... now I forgot what I was going to say. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about Madison Kuhn.
Right, yeah.
And
he was a very, very interesting teacher. Probably one of my top five favorites, if not the number one.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a very, and his knowledge of Michigan history and his debunking some of the things that I had read about that, these weren't correct, he even gave the reasons for them.
So that stimulated your interest in local history also?
Actually my interest in history was from high school.
Mm-hmm.
Had a high school teacher named Mel Bushman, who is still around, very, very active person,
mm-hmm.
but he made history so interesting, I became interested in it.
Mm-hmm. Can we go back to your, we'll go back to your work now?
Well, let's stop. Stop to take a minute.
You were mentioning Madison Kuhn, okay. And what was his technique that you found most useful?
Okay, what he discovered for me, or made me discover, was primary sources. That, before, I write something, I'd go look at some book that somebody had written in the encyclopedia, but he showed me where he looked for the original.
Mm-hmm.
The primary sources, and to me, forever since then, that it has been very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The importance of doing that original work,
right,
yourself.
To see where, instead of what somebody else said about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How was that paper to write?
It was fun. Because I really had kind of started it before I took, because I had, my brother and I had taken pictures. My brother was a photographer, and I was kind of had got the information. So it was just a matter of putting it together in a form that was and it was quite a long one too. And I noticed I had a picture taken south of Lansing of where it went through the woods, and he had written on there, my wife and I went down and looked at this.
Oh.
So he had followed you know, that's the type of person I was. He, mm-hmm. his interest in history, my interests in history, mm-hmm. went together.
That's interesting. Because obviously he was an important professor on the campus at that time.
Yeah. Distinguished. Mm-hmm. One of the ones that mm-hmm. I had that got the Distinguished Professor Award.
Uh-huh. Who were some of the other favorites that you had as faculty members? Any come to mind that had him? You mentioned the advertising professor had an important influence.
Ken Ward Atkin, who was in advertising, and then he became the chairman of it.
Uh-huh.
And he was somebody that, you know, I was a part-time student. You know, in the departments, a part-time student isn't really there for any reason. But to him, I was, mm-hmm. you know, and they're concerned about the students that are going to, you know, taking the class, the courses, going to a degree. He kind of took me under his wing, and then. And I was an older student too, and mm-hmm. so he once in a while would kind of. You remember, he had something he would always ask for some class. He would always, you know, he would a question he had to answer. My mother is okay, except. And you know, these students had, the younger ones had different things. You know, than I did. I forgot what I said. And I think that my except she's too easy going or something like that. And he pointed out that, you know, I was older. You know, I was much older than the rest of the students by then.
Uh-huh.
And also, then he was talking to me about teaching a class. Part time. But then he left before, and it fell through. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he and Madison Kuhn were two grand. Another one I had in journalism was Mary Smith, and she was. I had one course for her, but the teachers that you know that aren't aloof. Which in those days professors were kind of up above everybody. They aren't anymore. Mm-hmm. But in those days they were. But you know, and she was, you know, after our class, you know, the end of the term, she invited us to her house for something. That
made an impression.
Made an impression, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she. One thing she taught me in journalism, one that I learned from her was quotations, direct quotes, indirect quotes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using a direct quote, make sure it's a direct quote.
Mm-hmm.
Newspaper people don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody interviews me for something, and then in direct quotes, it's something that I didn't say, but it, you know, it's kind of the idea that I said,
mm-hmm.
but it's not what I said.
Right.
Not word for word.
Yeah, not word for word.
So when I write something in direct quotes, that's what they said.
Mm-hmm. You were able to use this advertising degree and the material that you were learning there right. Just before that in your job as it changed.
Right, as an editor, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about then that next phase of your work history?
I was the only one in, you know, I was the only one doing this. And people looked to me for doing things, and so I just kind of went on my own,
uh-huh.
you know, did what I wanted to do. I had to satisfy myself from what I was doing, and I'm hard to satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just give me something, you know, they want something, and then, you know, I come out with something for them.
Mm-hmm.
Who's
the they you're talking about? The administration?
Anybody.
Okay.
And, you know, supervisor who have a special dinner, they wanted, you know, some menu or something
okay.
Made up, you know, so I would, or, and then the, they were having different halls that have anniversaries. And so what I would do was do the history of that hall, you know, before they, you know, they wouldn't do much about history because we didn't know history. Well, I do a booklet on the hall.
Uh-huh.
So there were probably, I don't know, maybe a dozen of them that over the years I had done that with old pictures. I'd look up old pictures and primary sources, going back, you know, to the records, going to the library, checking the old Board of Agriculture, which was the trustees then, you know, looking through those and finding all kind of great things in there.
Mm-hmm.
So they were interested in interesting booklets.
Mm-hmm. What feedback did you get from your coworkers or students? Any in those areas?
Students. Okay. Now where are we?
We're talking about serving state.
Okay.
And you're editing there. And right. Did you hear? Was there any feedback?
The feedback from serving state. The employees liked it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of stuff in there about other employees and about but the way he knew that was if we were late when getting it out, they would wonder where it was.
Oh.
And then we did a survey, this was many years later, on serving state. You know, and I thought there'd be, you know, few people would send something in. I knew about doing surveys, and I knew, you know, about what you would get, and I was amazed. Just simply amazed at how much we got back. And how much, what it said mainly was, don't change it.
Mm.
You know, why mm-hmm. why change something? But the thing is, was that I grew up in, you know, in the job. I had done these different jobs. I had been a janitor, I had been a cook, I had done food service work. I knew the people. And, you know, and I grew up with them. You know, these people were my friends. I knew all about them. When I was a kid, as working here, the women, they all mothered me. Mm-hmm. Well, they were still mothering me when I retired.
Yeah.
You know, so and coming up, working up through the job,
mm-hmm.
when I became a supervisor, you know, manager, I knew what their problems were. You take somebody that's gone to college, they graduate, they're in charge, you know, they're a supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
What do they know? But I knew.
You had the job experience.
I had job experience. So if they told me they had a problem, I understood they had a problem. We'd do something correct it. If they told me something that wasn't right, you know, which wasn't often, but I knew it. Mm-hmm. I knew that too.
Mm-hmm.
The Central Bakery at Michigan State University now, the head of that is Jerry Stecker. He had done what I had done. He had started out washing pots and pans, and then he became a baker, and now he's the manager of, you know, and his people just think the world of him. They'll do anything for him. He'll do anything for them because he knows what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you work with him?
Did I work with him?
Yes. At any time?
As my job with serving state,
mm-hmm.
once in a while, or quite often, I would go to do a story on something. I'd spend the whole day there. I spent the day back in Shaw Hall where I'd cooked. I spent the day cooking with them, you know, in uniform and everything, and doing the story. I did this with the laundry. I spent time over the, you know, and I done it with over the bakery. That was one of my better experiences.
Uh-huh.
So I'm an honorary baker. I have a Central Bakery shirt, and they have a retail store there. called Puffin's Pastry Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This was my baby. not the shop itself, but the name of it and the logo and everything was they wanted a name for it, and so this came to me, to it was before Jerry was the manager. It was I think Mike Rice, who is now head of food stores, was manager of the bakery then, and they wanted to come up with the name, so this was in my field of in advertising. So I was figuring, so I think things, what I'm looking for, soft sound, like, off sound you don't want sharp sounds, or you don't want a T, or, something for a bakery, you're thinking about something soft, green. And so I think, like muffin,
mm-hmm.
and cream puff, and so I came up with Puffin. Puffin's Pastry Shop, and the puffin is a very colorful looking bird that, and you could made a great figure,
uh-huh.
for the symbol.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Yeah. How is the serving state? How is that distributed?
That was that the let's see. The upholstery shop. We had our own upholstery shop then,
mm-hmm.
And they had a truck, and so.
But I mean, who got it?
Okay, it was. So when we set it up for the different, anybody in the division, the different residence halls, Union, Kellogg, the food stores, laundry. We put so many, and then they would with the truck would distribute it, and it came out. Not every month, but so it fell on an employee's payday.
Mm-hmm.
So with their paychecks, every employee got one.
Uh-huh.
And then somewhere along the line, I thought other people might be interested. So I went through the faculty directory and the different heads of different departments and some other people I know them, like Madison Kuhn was. Mm-hmm. I put him on the mailing. So these are distributed by campus mail.
I see.
But, and there was great interest in it from, I'd hear from different people that I knew that will look forward to getting it. But and then the problem in the later years, the people who in the charge of the division were more interested in getting the information to these people instead of the employees. So they were trying to make it a vehicle that would, to make make it look better for those people than to give information to employees.
I see.
And this
a change of focus lately.
And it's something I always, kind of fought against,
mm-hmm.
Kind of ignored.
Uh-huh. How about student employees? Can you talk a little bit about them?
Student employees, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're back in, at the beginning, there's a lot of student employees. I mean, a lot of students were working, because they were putting themselves through school, and there was... They say that there were that students that worked got better grades, and I've heard this a number of times that mm-hmm. that it's been shown that they get better grades, and to start with, when I was in high school, the student employees were older than I, by a few years,
mm-hmm.
But they were my friends, and so. So when after work, these are the people I would hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do much with my high school.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was growing older, and so pretty, they were my age, so then they were, we did lots of things together. And then as when I grew older and they were younger. But, you know, still, they, and it was good employees because they're smart.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing about working, about living in this area, the these young people that are working, you know, in any, you know, like Myers or any place, they're smart people,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, the college students. And but and I found out, you know, okay, so when I had Brady, the student and the students, employees, earlier ones, had worked before then. They'd done some work, you know,
mm-hmm.
worked around the house, did something. So they knew how to work. But as and I noticed when I go with Brody, there was so many, wasn't anything for kids to do anymore, you know, around the, you know, had to, something, I mean, I washed the dishes, now you put them in the machine. The mm-hmm. kids didn't know how to work. They didn't understand how to work. So you had to teach them how to work before you teach them, you know, the job.
Mm-hmm.